Father, we just love you. We desire you. We want you. We want a deeper relationship with you. Lord, you have called this a training place for ministers, and we don't have a clue how to do that. So we just lay down everything and invite you. And we thank you, Lord, when you bring us messages and you quicken your word and you bring it alive inside of us, God. And that's what we want. We just want you to live in and through us. So we ask you to quicken your word this morning. We ask you right now to help us lay aside everything that may hinder us receiving. Lord, if we have been offended or hurt, we choose to forgive the offender so that we don't have unforgiveness in our heart. Lord, if we are wounded, we ask you to heal our heart. And Lord, we just put our heart in your hands and we leave that to you. We ask you, Father, to deal with the offenders and bring to their eyes what they need to see. And we don't need to convince them. We just give them to you. We put ourselves in your hands. If we have offended others, we ask you to show us and help us to repent. Father, whatever is in our heart, pride, fear, selfishness, protecting, defensiveness, depressions, all these spirits, God, we just ask you right now, cleanse our heart, wash away everything that would prevent us from coming into oneness with you this morning, because we really want you more than these things. So we ask you to prepare us now that we can receive your word with power. In the name of Jesus, amen. John 14, we're talking about training ministers. And last week we talked about protecting your words, just kind of an introduction overview. We're still, it's kind of, there is such a deep, so much to all of this. We're talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. It has to be his way. It has to be his truth. And then his life, the power of his presence, his anointing will be there on the things we do. So we're going to be taking a long time. I want to do a little overview of some things in John 14, and then I want to focus on one particular aspect this morning. We're going to go back up and pick up the others. So we're going to look at some things about his way. Look at verse 12 through 14. One way to become a good minister of Christ is John, based on John 14, 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Have you ever tried to live by that? Start asking and it doesn't happen. We leave out that in my name. It doesn't just mean saying in the name of Jesus. In my name means in my authority. If you look up that word, name, it represents the entire character of Christ, the entire authority of Christ. So it involves walking with him, knowing him, believing he's here, believing he hears you, learning the character of Christ. This past week, I didn't get to experience as much manifest presence as I would like. I'm kind of greedy, hoggy for that, you know. God, where are you? Where's those colors? I want to hear your voice. I want to, you know, I enjoy all that. Visions and dreams and his presence, I love it. But this last week, as I was craving that and praying, he said, walk in my character. Walk in my, you know my character. You know all about my character. You've been learning for over 40 years. I am mercy. I am love. I am peace. I am joy. I am truth. You know my character. Walk in my character. And I was like, wow, that's a challenge, you know. But if you don't know his character, to start out with, we have to get to know him through the word, through the spirit. So when we're asking in his name, we've been with him. We know what he wants. We know what he's thinking. We're becoming one with him doesn't mean you're walking around feeling his presence every minute. It means you're becoming one in the way you think. Someone offends you, your first thought should be, I choose to forgive them. Now you can go in your room and whine and pout about being hurt and how wrong they are and complain to God. But in his character, you're going to choose forgiveness. even before you feel it, because that's the character of God. You're going to choose to give them mercy. You're going to choose truth. When faced with the truth you don't want to tell and the lie would be easier, you'd look better, you're going to choose to tell that truth. So learning the character of Christ and then knowing him intimately so that you have his authority in the things you're praying. When we know that we know what he wants, it's easy to expect him to do it. And he will do it because it's what he said he wanted. So that's just the prayer part. But I want to focus and turn this into a question. Can you say, I believe that the Father God is in Jesus? And I believe Jesus is in the Father. And I believe that he is in me. He is living inside of me. We need to believe that. He's in me through his Holy Spirit. Because if you believe he's really in you, the living, real, true, powerful Jesus who rose from the dead, who raised other people from death, who healed the blind and the crippled, if you believe he's living in you, what can he do? How are we going to see greater works unless we have increased faith? Brother Harvey started praying that weeks ago. Increase our faith. What is faith? Faith is believing whatever God said he's going to do. There's the authority of his name. See how those verses work together? Now, once you believe he's in me and all the power of God is in me and he wants to live through me with a purpose. And these verses say, what is that purpose? That the Father might be glorified in Jesus. And Jesus is in me. So for the Father, for Jesus to be glorified, it needs to be through us. Through us. But we have to believe. This mighty God is living in me. He wants to do greater works than he did in the body he lived in before. Do you realize that was just a fleshly body? And he did not live with the power of God, of I am God, I can do what I want. He lived dependent on the Father in him, just like we do. He just had a body, flesh and blood, no power. He had temptations. He had to resist sin. He had to forgive people who offended him. He had friends who let him down all the time. In his deepest, darkest hour of need, they went to sleep. And when he's trying to tell them, I'm going to be tortured, I'm going to die, they said, oh, we got a question. Which of us gets to be greater in heaven? Selfish? Unloving? Not getting it? That's who he hung around. But he loved them. He forgave them and he loved them. And he saw who they could become. Now, he's chosen to come back to earth in a body, just like he did before. But he'd come back in our body this time. We live the same way he did. I love the study we did on eat my flesh, drink my blood. Eating his flesh is to see how he lived in the flesh. Devour the life of Christ. See how he lived. What did he do? What did he think? What did he feel? Where did he go? How did he act? How did he live in his flesh? Because he did it as an example. How God could come to earth, live in a little old frail human body, and do it right. And he did it to show you you could do it. Right. Only because he lives inside of you. He lived by the Father God inside of him. We are to live by the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. And if we would believe that God has come to do something again through you, through me, and then by his authority, whatever he says he wants to do, I can believe that he can do it, even though I've never seen it before. Now, as we move on that, we're going to study that more later. Some of the crazy things God will do in your training, things he'll ask you to do, things to step out of your comfort zone. Some of it's to see if you would. I mean, how can he tell you to walk up to a stranger and say, by the way, I noticed you're blind and I'd like to lay hands on your eyes and maybe put some mud in one of your eyes and then you'll be able to see. How are you going to get that kind of courage if you won't even do the little things in the safety of other Christians in church that he calls you to do? So there's levels of testing before there's positioning for the greater things. So we need to be hearing, believing, and acting on the things he gives us at this level. We'll go more into that later. Then there's some ways, other ways. We're talking about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Just going to throw a couple ways out. I have studies ready for the ways, but we're just touching on them today because we're going to move on to the truth. If you love me, verse 15, let's look at verse 15. There is a big if here. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And in that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Some people say, well, I'd like God to come and prove to me that he's real. I want to see God. Do you love him? Because he's not here to prove himself to you. He's not here to prove himself to you. He's here to come and have a relationship with you. So this is the way of God. It's through relationship. I mean, Harvey preaches that all the time here. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Some people come in and go, well, I came here to get some friends and have relationship, and I want to go to your house for dinner and hang out together. That's nice, and we ought to do some of that, but we're talking about relationship with God. Right. We're talking about true, real fellowship, relationship with your God. You want God to be real, all you have to do is fall in love with him. He loves to be loved. If you're trying to get him to come and say, well, God, if you loved me, you'd pay my rent. God, if you loved me, you'd give me this. If you loved me, you'd fix my husband. If you loved me, oh, where did that come from? Just jumped right out of my subconscious. Yes, this just really sad for him when we had a little disagreement this morning, and I'm the one that gets to talk first, but I'm sure his will slip out later. You know what? If you're trying to be better, do better, feel better, look better, I don't know if there's a time that we ever actually arrive on that. If so, I haven't found it. I have not found that arrival of me getting better. But he's looking for us to just live in him. He's looking for us to let him live. He's looking for us to fall in love with him, have a deep, real relationship with him. And that is the only way you will have a powerful, anointed ministry. It comes out of relationship with him. That's where the authority of his voice will come. That's where his manifest presence will come and spend time with you and love you and soften your heart and change you. So before we can do any of those things, where I want to start with is the Holy Spirit. Because what we're talking about has to be done from the inside out, from the Holy Spirit being in there and transforming us. So I want to look at our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if we love him and want him. You know, a lot of people talk about repentance, meaning stop smoking, stop drugs, stop drinking, stop carousing, stop adultery. We should stop all those things. But true repentance is toward God. It's desiring the relationship with him. It's desiring, wanting him. And he said, if you love me, I will send you another comforter. One role of the Holy Spirit is comforter. We're going to look at that more in a minute. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth. So the way of God is the relationship with him, moving in his authority through the relationship. And the only way to do it in truth is through the Holy Spirit, because He brings us the truth, even the truth of the written word. Truth is in the written word, and truth is in the Holy Spirit. But as we read the written word, it breathes life, because the Holy Spirit puts life in the written word. He brings it alive to us. He opens it up, gives us those treasures of truth. I want to look at the receiving of the Holy Spirit in verse 26. He's a comforter. He will teach us, and He will give us peace. This is His way. But I want to look about first receiving the Holy Spirit. When we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. It's like a seal, like a promise of God, like a down payment on us, saying, I have stamped you by putting my own life inside of you, my own Holy Spirit in you, and this is your guarantee. You now belong to me, and you will go to heaven. Now, He never takes that back. He never takes that away. His Holy Spirit is in us. We are sealed. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. Oops, there went somebody's paycheck. Second Corinthians. Did I say? Oh, I flipped my. 2 Corinthians. How did I lose my spot like that? Oh, I laid my Bible on top of it. 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. This is why I normally write them down. You see how fumbly I am when I don't have them all pre-written? For all the promises of God are in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God. By us. Unto the glory of God by us. If God's going to be glorified, it's going to be in us, through us. Now, He which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. You want to be anointed? You want power of God? Who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, God talks about establishing us through His Spirit and sealing us in His Holy Spirit. This happens as soon as you accept Christ and give Him your life, make Him your Savior. Look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the promise of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praises of His glory. So as soon as you heard the gospel and you believed and accepted Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's when you received Him. Now, as soon as you receive the Holy Spirit, He begins to do a work in you. Where I'm going to take you in a couple minutes is being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the baptism, a fire of the Holy Spirit. Because there are different times we get different measures of the Holy Spirit. Greater measure as God is doing something different in our life. But the Holy Spirit, as soon as we receive Him at salvation, Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. As soon as the Holy Spirit moves in, there is love in you that was not there before. One sign that God moved in, something different. You're able to love someone you didn't like yesterday. You're able to love nature in a different way. You're able to love people, even your enemies, in a different way. Now, sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit and allow hate to come back. But if you really received the Holy Spirit, there was something different. Love began to change your heart. Then He comforts us. John 14:16, we talked about He is the comforter. I will send you another comforter. Back in John 14:26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. When you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit reminds you. When you have conversation with God, Holy Spirit rises up and reminds you. He teaches you. So He is the teacher that opens up all truth to us. He's the comforter. He brings love and the ability to love. And He is our teacher. So He's not only the way, but He's also the truth. He teaches us all truth. All of this begins as soon as you get saved. Look at Luke 12:12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Sometimes you just don't know what to say. People call me on the phone asking for wisdom or advice, and I don't know. I mean, dumber than a rock, you know? But while they're talking, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, I have no clue what to say to this person. I do not know. And even if I knew, it would be my opinion. Please rise up in me. Take control of my thoughts. Give me your thoughts, your truth. What do I say to them? I don't know what to say, but all of a sudden a thought comes in my mind. And I give that. He brings to remembrance, and He rises up and teaches us what to say right in the moment that we need it. Now, if He doesn't rise up and say anything, you don't need to cover for Him. You don't need to back up into your opinion. You just need to go, God, you're not talking, you're not telling me. And it's like, hint, hint, clue, clue, don't say anything. Don't cover for God. If He doesn't give you anything, Jesus stayed silent most of the time when He was on trial. Most of the time He stayed silent. He didn't defend Himself. He didn't argue. They lied and He didn't rebuke them. He just stood silent so much of the time. Sometimes, you know, some scriptures seem to contradict themselves. In Proverbs it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. And then it says, answer a fool lest he be wise in his own eyes. You're going, well, answer him or don't then. What do you mean? It depends. God knows what's going on in the fool. Is it going to do any good to confront him? Maybe you just need to be quiet and his fire will burn out. Maybe you need to speak a truth and then leave it alone and God will make it grow in him. He'll take that truth and water it for you. So we really need to learn to stay in peace. And that also the Holy Spirit gives us, the peace, the joy, that we don't have to argue and make our points all the time. Now, the first time that Jesus filled His disciples in John 20, look at John 20. I'm just showing you there is more. Whatever you currently now have of God living in you, there's more. There's more. John 20, verse 22. And without this more, we are powerless. God's getting ready to take us to a more place. John 20, verse 22. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's another lesson. We're going to talk about levels of forgiveness, but we're not going to go on that today. But He breathed on His disciples before He was crucified. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And then we saw in Acts 1:5, I'm going to write them out from now on. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There was a reason for a greater baptism of the Holy Spirit, a greater anointing, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the reason was to be witnesses, to go out and win the lost. A lot of times we wonder, where are the miracles? Have you ever noticed that it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow? Are we preaching the gospel? We just want the signs, but they have to follow preaching the gospel. So when we're ready that we are going to go out and preach the gospel, then He will give a greater measure of the Holy Spirit with power to win the lost. So there is a filling, a baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives you power to be a witness. Now, when he laid hands, when he breathed on them before his crucifixion and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," they believed in God. They chose God. They believed in Christ. And they had the sealing of the Holy Spirit. They didn't speak in tongues. They weren't preaching with power. But they had the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, if that's where you're at, there's more. If you are ready to say, "I lay my life down for you to flow through me any way you want, do anything you want, say anything you want, I'm going to let you speak through me. I'm going to be the witness." Then maybe God is saying to you, begin to hunger for this baptism of the Holy Spirit. After they received this baptism is when they spoke in tongues. Everybody thought they were drunk. I mean, you come in here and people are wobbling around and falling down, and they're just saying, "More God, more God." We don't care if they all think we're drunk or silly or crazy. I want more of God, no matter what it makes me look like. Why? Just because it feels good? No. It does feel good. Sometimes. Sometimes it's just downright embarrassing. What was that word you kept saying in that restaurant? Bang. We went to Toronto, and we had not been in this kind of stuff. We're over in Toronto 20 years ago with that outpouring of God. Harvey's face is stuck to the platform in church, and he's crawling in circles trying to get up, but he can't get his face off the floor. That's not fun. To all of us, it's funny. But it wasn't fun for him. He's up in front. The whole time the guy is preaching, Harvey's up there glued in front of everyone, with his little rear up in the air and face on the floor, going around in a circle. I got it on tape if you ever want to see it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
I'll pay $5.
But that wasn't like, "Oh, the love of God is melting me." No, that was embarrassing. And then he embarrassed her, because that's when he started. The stuff you see now started right about then. This, "Oh, cha," all the stuff he does, you know. So Janiah's thinking, "My dad's just a show off. He's just an attention hog. I don't believe any of that stuff. Don't look like God to me. I don't think it's God." So we go out to the restaurant, and the waitress comes up and says, "What would you like to order?" And Janiah goes, "Bang!" All day long. Everybody spoke to her, and Janiah would go, "I'm a bang, 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 bang!" She couldn't speak anything but bang. She knew it was real then, because she didn't want to do that. That wasn't melting peace and love. She was embarrassed. God can do whatever he wants. I didn't like some stuff. I'm a serious, I mean, I know I'm a joker in some ways, but when it comes to God, I'm very serious, or used to be. And we're watching that church. We're watching everybody getting hit in the spirit and doing weird things. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think this is God. Why would God do this? The guys were up with fake bowling balls, and they'd look at a crowd of people. They're not even looking at them, and they're saying, "Here it comes," and they roll in this fake bowling ball, and the people all fall down like bowling pins. And I'm thinking, that's not funny. God's power is here for a purpose, not for games, not for you to just knock people over and laugh. That's not God. Why would he do that, you know? That's ridiculous. Until it started happening to me. And you know what? We opened up to it when it didn't seem fun. It seemed embarrassing. It was like, "Whatever you want to do, God. What if he asks you to do something that's so stupid and ridiculous in your thinking, you can't find a spiritual good reason to do it? It's not going to get anybody saved. It might even scare them to death." Maybe God is, number one, he's returning you to a childlike ability to enjoy life. Shortly after that, God showed up in a vision with me and said, "Let's play dress up." And I'm like, "Oh, why?" He said, "You need to know how to have fun." We played dress up, and it was so fun. There was no great fruit that came out of that for other people. I didn't witness to anybody. But I got delivered of old stuffiness. I got back to a childlike ability to laugh and have fun. And that was deeply healing for me. A lot of you think I'm a real jokester now, but there was a time up until then in my life that I was miserable, unhappy, sad, full of all kinds of abuse and woundedness. And God knew what it took to heal me and restore me. I need a whole lot more restoration. Because, see, restoration is getting rid of all the hurts and lies and deceptions and pride and attitude and sin till he gets us back to the way he created us, who we're really meant to be. And we're going to go through inner healing in here because I want you to be restored to the way he created you. And then you can begin your transformation. From there, you can begin to become all he created you to be and become. Take back all that the devil stole and let God develop you into his perfect image, the way he created us. So we're going to go there too. But I want you to realize when you're asking for more of the Holy Spirit, you don't know what it's going to look like. Maybe you will speak in tongues. Maybe you won't. You don't have to speak in tongues. I know a lot of churches don't believe that. If you got baptized in the Spirit, you spoke in tongues. Maybe not. A lot of people didn't right away. A lot of people still never have. But other things begin to happen. But you got to open that door up wide. Get hungry, not for just this power of God, but the presence of God, the life of God, the love of God, the likeness of God, the character of God. Want the relationship with him so that he wants to pour out more measure in you, for you, and to reach others. It's a second touch. It can be a third touch and a fourth. See, he can rise up in us. He can pour out more on us. God's spirit is not limited to a body like us. I had trouble with that. If I got sealed with your Holy Spirit, he is a person, then he's already here. How can he come here again if he's already here? Because he's not limited to a body. I can't walk over to Tim, say, having a good rest, Tim. I'm here with Tim. And now I'm going to come from over there and be with Tim too. I can't do that because I'm a body. But God is a spirit. He can give you this much spirit. And then this much spirit. And then this much spirit. And then he can give you baptism of fire of his spirit. I want to just show you that much more that Jesus, in Luke 1:15, even Jesus. This should make you hungry to know you can have more. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Jesus didn't start with a ceiling and then get filled. Jesus started full. He started full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. But then, in Luke 3, just jump over two chapters, verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, Jesus, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. I am well pleased. Jesus got another measure of the Holy Spirit when he got baptized. If Jesus started out full, and then right before he went into the desert testing, and then the fullness of his public ministry, he got another measure, a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. Surely if he needed it, we need it. Because we weren't even born full. We were born in sin. Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. But when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now he went through his testing. He went into the water. He got this new measure of the Holy Spirit, which led him, the Spirit led him straight into tempting, testing, strengthening him before releasing him into the fullness of his public ministry. I think we are at a place where we need a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. That's the way to a bigger faith. That's the way to a deeper relationship. That's the way to the anointing we're going to need for the things that are coming. So I just encourage you this week, begin to seek a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. God, I want to give you everything, and I can't do anything for you except lay down my life and say, more! Give me more! Anoint me, pour out your Holy Spirit on me in a greater measure for your glory so you can live through me. Father, we just give this to you. We ask your Holy Spirit to follow us home with it. Breathe on it. Bring it to our remembrance. Teach us from it, God. Help us dig into Scripture and want to own these lessons. Read everything about your Holy Spirit we can find and seek, God, more of you that we might give you more of us, that you might be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen.